chapter 2 of 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. Everybody there? Now therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Paul's writing to Timothy, his son in the faith, who was wavering a little bit as the pastor of the church at Ephesus because of problems outside the church and inside the church. And he's writing these things to give him the command. If you want to know how we do church, it's found in 1 and 2 Timothy in the book of Titus. And he says, now therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Notice that again. It goes along with what I was telling you about today. The strength is not in us, it's in him, right? And he says, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Father, I pray this morning as we open this text, you open our hearts. May we be reminded again about what this all is all about here on this earth. And also we want to pray today for Miss Margaret Hart. Lord, we don't know her situation. We know she's a believer. You know she's a strong Christian. And we don't know what's going on over there in the lower part of Cairo where she lives. And Lord, I just pray that you minister grace in her life and be with that family. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be standing, okay? All right. Start to say you may be seating, but you're already seating, right? All right. Be in the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. This is the Great Commission. We find it in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 and 20, right? Go as you go, make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and then teaching them to observe all that I have commanded thee. So that's what we do. That's how we make disciples. We win people to Christ, and then we bring them into the church, and we mature them in the faith through the teaching of God's Word. By how do we make disciples? Three participles in Matthew 28. Going, baptizing, and teaching, right? Now, our text today in 2 Timothy 2:2 tells us exactly how that process is out. In the context of chapter 2, 2 Timothy, all the way through 1 through 26, Paul shares seven word pictures of the Christian minister or the man of God. He calls him a teacher in verse 2. By the way, we are all teachers. He calls him a soldier, verses 3 and 4. He calls him an athlete in verse 5. He calls him a farmer in verse 6. These are metaphors, word pictures for what we are to be about. He calls him a workman in verse 15 in the word, a vessel of honor in verse 20, and a servant in verse 24. Seven word pictures about who we are and what we need to be about. Now, so Paul exhorts Timothy as a teacher in our text to pass on spiritual truth to all future generations. We have been entrusted with the gospel. It's been committed to our charge to defend and proclaim. And we, through the gospel and through the word of God, the whole counsel of God's word, pass it on to believers so that they can also teach others one day, right? And go to that point. Now, this is what we have here. We have the ministry of teaching and multiplication. God saved us not to just sit dormant on a pew. Can I get an amen there? He has saved us so not only we can grow more like Christ, but we can grow to the point that we can teach others also, right? All of us. You don't have to have a Sunday school class or be a pastor to teach the Word of God. Bring along someone beside you that needs teaching, a mentor, a Barnabas, somebody that can encourage you, somebody like the Apostle Paul, somebody to pour your life out into that you can bring them to maturity in the faith, right? That's the ministry of spiritual reproduction. That is the ministry of multiplication. Now, how do we do this? Well, I want to share with you four principles from verse 2 of 2 Timothy 2:2 that show us how to our teaching and mentoring process. And it's all based on very simple words. Don't ever overlook the connecting words, the participles, the adjectives, the verbs, because they're so important in understanding the Word of God. So if we're going to pass on truth and we're going to be involved in a ministry of multiplication, How to do? How do we do it? Well, number one, truth is not to be compromised. Truth is not to be compromised. Look again in verse 2. The things thou hast heard of me, the Apostle Paul says. He says here that we do not compromise what I've taught you, Timothy. This is good, sound Christian doctrine, and we are to embrace it, and we are to pass it on to others. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13, hold fast the form of sound words. In other words, sound words, healthy words, healthy. That's where we get our word hygienic or hygiene. We ought to be good Bible students and understand good, sound doctrine and solid doctrine. He says, hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me. There it is again, which thou hast heard of me. In faith and love which is in Christ Jesus, that good thing which was committed unto thee. What is the good thing? It's the word of God. It's the gospel. He said, that good thing that was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. Now let me say this about truth is not to be compromised. We see it on every hand today. There's a lot of things going on in the name of Christ, but just a bunch. I'll tell you the Greek word first. It's a bunch of hogwash. Amen? I mean, it's hogwash. It don't pass for Christian truth. And there's a lot of people out there that are doing a lot of things. I heard about a new movement called the Progressive Church. Can't let the Democrats have anything on them, so they call themselves the Progressive Church. And what it means is Christ did not vicariously die for our sins on the cross. He could have died any kind of way. And what it means is we cannot know truth. Holding to sound truth and being fundamental in your doctrine is too dogmatic. We got to progress. The world and the culture around us has progressed, and the church has to adapt, i.e., the United Methodist Church, right? Are y'all with me this morning? Amen. I thought I'd get an amen of that, because they barely passed in their General Assembly not to ordain practicing homosexuals as priests. Tell me, that has no place in the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll be quite honest with you. We need to hold fast. We don't need to compromise sound doctrine. We must know the truth accurately, and we must hold it with integrity, the Word of God. And I believe that we need to get back to teaching our people sound doctrine, teaching them theology instead of a bunch of hogwash and fluff and circus-type preaching, I call it. We need to get back to the meat of God's Word, amen, and teaching them what the great doctrines of the faith are. And then they can, out of that, have practical Christian living. So, number one, if we're going to be involved in the ministry of multiplication, number one, truth is not to be compromised, and it's being compromised on every hand. I don't know if it's true or not. I'll just tell you, I understand that the satellite church of Andy Stanley is coming in, where the gathering used to be over there near Arby's. And if you know anybody and you followed Andy Stanley, his dad is great, but Andy Stanley is questioning the virgin birth. I wouldn't give anybody like that a time of day. I read the article myself, out of his own words, questioning whether the virgin birth took place. Listen to me closely. You cannot even be saved if you don't believe in the virgin birth. Amen? Because if you don't believe in the virgin birth, you're still in Adam's sin, right? And Christ knew no sin. We must not compromise the truth. And then number two, if we're going to be in the ministry of, y'all do understand the type of preaching I do, I would not last in a lot of churches over 2 weeks, right? Y'all know that, right? All right? But I've been here 17 years, so you must like it. And I'll tell you again what somebody said. How do you stay in a church so long? I said, they cannot hear, right? They don't know what I'm teaching them. Number two, if we're going to be involved in the ministry of multiplication, truth must be affirmed by others who hold the same truths. Notice what Paul says. Among many witnesses, notice what he says. And the things which thou hast heard of me, what? Among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men. So the truth that we hold must be in line with historic Christian doctrine. I mean, you know, among many witnesses. What we believe and what we teach should not veer from historic Christian doctrine that's been taught for over 2,000 years. right? All of a sudden, you got this people thinking they come up with something new. They found something new in the Word of God that Jesus missed, Paul missed, theologians missed, the early church fathers, the apostles, all the great historians and preachers over the years have missed this little nugget of truth in the Word of God. And I would say this, they are the ones that have missed, right? And I can give you a lot of examples about that. They just come up with something that's just new and improved, right? Well, it's not new and it's not improved. You can't improve upon the inerrant Word of God, amen? So we cannot compromise among many witnesses, right? You cannot be a renegade Bible teacher, a renegade preacher, a renegade teacher, and come up with your own truth. This is why it's good. This is my library is full. Brother Ray's library is full. Other preachers' library is full. And we can run what we believe beside these great men of God that have taught these truths, right? And we just lost another one, Pastor Warren Wiersbe. Now, I don't know about you. You may not know Warren Wiersbe, but if you ever taught the Word of God or if you're a preacher, you know who Warren Wiersbe is. He's a pastor to pastors. He's connected with Moody Bible Institute. And you'd hear him on radio Bible class. And I've got all this stuff, And he was one of the most practical preachers upon the face of the earth. If I can't understand what other men say in their commentaries, I go to Warren Wiersbe and he makes it plain, right? We're losing some good preachers. We lost Billy Graham. He was an evangelist. Warren Wiersbe the other day, R.C. Sproul, and Adrian Rogers. We lost some good men. And so is somebody going to pick up a baton and come behind them, right? And so, I want to go further here, but for sake of time, I can't. But if you hear something out there that pastor claims that he got heard that everybody else is mistaken about, you better beware, right? So it's among many witnesses. And then number three, if we're going to be involved in the ministry of spiritual reproduction and ministry of multiplication, the truth must be guarded and invested. Look in verse 2 again. And the things which thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men. The same commit. See, we don't come up and change the Word of God. The same commit to faithful men. That means to embrace it, to keep it, to share it, to guard it, right? And truth is very important. One of the students in the Bible college that I teach at, and we went through Galatians this last semester, and one of the questions on the final exam is, what have you learned from the book of Galatians? What behavior or belief have you changed in light of what the Word of God says? And he says, I realize now that I'm not as aggressive against false doctrine and false teachers as I ought to be. And Apostle Paul, and his view of the Judaizers taught me that I need to defend truth. Boy, that'll make a preacher tickle, right? I mean, that was something. And so that's what makes preachers happy when you hear that kind of stuff. Now, truth must be guarded and invested. Now, notice someone said there's five laps in the relay of the Christian life. Jesus passed truth to Paul. Paul passed truth to Timothy. Timothy in this text pass truth to faithful men, and then to others also, right? Notice that again, verse 2. And the things which thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. So it's an ongoing process here in this Christian life of passing on truth. The Lord has, in this verse, has supplied us with a succession of competent teachers by passing on the truth, spiritual reproduction. I am what I am today because of the Lord, but I am also what I am today because I studied after great men of God who rightly divided the word of truth. Amen. I'm glad I wasn't born, I wasn't getting into a hogwash denomination that just was a bunch of fluff, I'm glad that I was taught by faithful men of the word of God who knew how to exposit the scriptures. Someone said that ideally, if everyone did their part, now this is ideally, Ideally, if everybody did their part in passing on truth, we could evangelize this generation within one generation. But because we don't, we are very close to losing the generation that we're in. You understand that, don't you? You are not popular. The church is not popular. Boy, Franklin Graham came out against this Democratic mayor. I can't pronounce his name. Whatever his name is, that's going to run for president on the Democratic side. Well, I'm glad I didn't say what I was about to say. But he's going to run, and he's a practicing homosexual. He has a partner. He's married to a man, and he's going to run on the Democratic, try to get it. Franklin Graham, I'm proud of him. He come out and said he needs to repent. And boy, the world has collapsed on Franklin Graham. Now, we can expect that from the world, right? But there's people that call themselves evangelical Christians that have come out against him. That's where we are, church. And we need to pray for Franklin Graham. And I'm proud of him, you know? And it took a lot of guts to do that. So we're about to lose our generation. Do y'all agree with me? Amen. We're about to lose our generation. And once you lost it, I don't know, it's time for the rapture, I guess. 2 Timothy 2:14 says, "Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them therefore before the Lord, and that they strive not about words to no profit, but the subverting of the hearers." Folks, I ain't got time to talk about who was the nation on Daniel's vision, on the Nebuchadnezzar's dream of the image, his third toe. Listen, I got enough I can do just preaching the Word of God, amen? I'm not going to argue about who Cain married. I'm not going to argue about this. I'm not going to argue about why God allowed him to go into the heathen nations to destroy the whole people. I'm just going to give them the truth, right? And pass on. I can defend those, but I'm not going to get hogwogged. I'm not going to get bogged down on their playing field. I want to take them back to the gospel, right? And that's where it's at. So we can teach publicly, we can teach privately, but this is an endless chain of spiritual reproduction of the ministry of multiplication. If everybody in this church would witness. And it's the Lord that saves, right? And quote, you know how I'm about to say this. And everyone was to bring somebody to Christ or invite somebody who already a believer to our church that is out of church and out of the will of God and invite them. You know, we'd have to add on, right? There wouldn't be nobody sitting in the back no more, right? Because the back, everybody'd have to sit in the back, right? Back is back there, by the way. I'm in the front, y'all in the back, all right? And then number four, if we're going to pass on spiritual truth, if we're going to be involved in the ministry of multiplication, spiritual reproduction, before I get to that point, let me say this. Y'all do know it is the sheep that reproduce, not the shepherd, right? The shepherd leads the sheep where they can reproduce, right? And the shepherd reproduces as well. But in using the analogy of the sheep and the shepherd, like Jesus did, sheep multiply. What do little sheep have? They have little sheep, right? And I don't know what you call a little sheep. A lamb, okay. All right, yeah, good. I was fixing to call him a sheepy. But they pass on the truth, number four, to faithful men. Can I say this? Well, I am. Our problem is we have very few faithful men. Look what it says in verse 2 again. "And the things which thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able, faithful, able men, to teach others also." It's a frustrated ministry or minister that passes on truth to men that are not faithful. And it won't hold the Word of God here sacred. Pouring our whole life out into people that don't care about nothing but yet claim the name of Christ. It is better to invest in a few faithful men than a large group who will not pass truth on. Faithful men are proven by their spiritual character and their giftedness, right? Spiritual character and their giftedness. Who will what? Equip others also. And then they in turn will equip others also and teach others also. Y'all often ask me why I'm not on Facebook. I would be worse than Frank and Rick Smith Sr. I'd be banned every day. They'd kick me off every day because I would not even have a smidgen of a second for some of this hogwash that you hear out there that passes, right? I don't even know if you got to pay to be on Facebook. If you do, I wouldn't get my money's worth. They'd be kicking me off every other day because I couldn't. We cannot hash out theology in the world's ball field, okay? You cannot do it. Truth is to be passed on to faithful men. Now, how do we know a faithful man? Well, number one, he's saved. He's growing. A good witness among the church of being spiritual character. But Peter is an example, okay? We're going to get through. Peter is an example. Faithful men can be spotted by their life and by their doctrine. Oh, yes, he made a lot of mistakes. But I'd rather have a Peter in the church than have a lighter knot in the church, right? Now, how do we invest in our lives? We pour out our lives and our doctrine and our life into their lives. We look for people who are the three I's, inquisitive. Do they ask questions? Right? Man, when I first started growing as a Christian, I'd get my pastor and we'd be out there in the churchyard at 12 at night, and I'd be asking him questions. Peter asked questions. Involved. If they're not involved now, God's not going to call them to do anything else, right? You got to be faithful where you're at. Y'all hear me? You got to be faithful where you're at if you want God to give you another task. And then initiative. Look for somebody that takes the initiative. Paul had all those. He was inquisitive, he was involved, and he took the initiative. Those are the men that we are to pour our life out into so that they could be able and equipped to equip other men and women too as well. So I take it back to Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 and 20. It tells us to make disciples by going, baptizing, and teaching. Again, they're not saved by baptism. Baptism shows their identification with Christ. By being baptized, going down in the water and coming up, it shows what happened to us spiritually. We are been immersed into the death of Christ, his burial, and his resurrection. It's a type of identification. So the church needs to get back to God's pattern. Now listen to your pastor very closely. Many churches have left the pattern of God. We have tear pastors, entertaining tears using man-made gimmicks, man-made methods, man-made manipulation, man-made entertainment, trying to attract lost people to the church. See, it's not about attracting, it's about being who we are and going out there, right? Are y'all with me? If we build a church by attractional events, we're going to be spending a lot of money till Jesus comes, having this show and that show and this horse and pony show and this and this. And we're going to have, if we got them here by hot dog supper, we're going to have to keep buying hot dogs, right? You see what I'm saying? We don't attract people into the church. That is the job of the gospel. That's the job of the Holy Spirit. Am I not right? If he doesn't draw them, whatever else we do is in the flesh and they're not going to last. And so we need to get back to God's method. Each one, reach one. And church, I want to give you a challenge this morning. Is our church, our job is not done until all go, until all are taught, until all teach others. Right? Our job is not done till that happens. Commit today to be a faithful disciple who guard the truth and know enough about the truth that you can defend it. And speak out when you hear all this hogwash out there. And, you know, and do it in love. but you need to tell them the truth, right? Father, help us to contend for the faith. As Jude says, contend for the faith. It's a struggle. It's a battle. Lord, we know that you said you'll build your church, but you promised to build it through faithful believers who will teach others also. So we cannot blame you for what's happening in the church. We have to blame ourselves. We're not contending for the faith. Well, we just sit back and talk about how they're not in the faith, but we're not contending for the faith. And we know that you said you'll build the church, and there's a remnant, the doctrine of the remnant. Not everybody who sits in a pew on Sunday is going. We know that. But help us, through the power of the Spirit, to do our part. To share truth, to pass it on to faithful men who will be able to pass it on to others also. And we'll see a difference. We'll see a difference. That's why Jesus poured his life out into 11 true apostles. Because it's from that we have what is called the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. The world has tried to stamp it out. People have tried to do this, tried to do that. But the church is on its way to glory. And we thank you for that. Help us to be faithful. Help us to be able. Help us to be equipped in the Word of God, that we may give a reason for the hope that is within us when we're challenged. This altar is open. Maybe there's some here today who'd like to commit to themselves to be a better disciple, to learn the Word of God. And if we want to learn the Word of God, we're going to put ourselves in positions where we can hear the Word of God. And we can come under the Word of God Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, a women's conference, as our ladies went to this past week. Whatever it is, we're going to make a commitment. If we really care, we're going to make a commitment to learn the Word of God. So, Father, have your will and way in this service, and we ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.